I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm always glad to be in the house of the Lord. Probably when we get the building out here, we'll probably take the tent down if the Lord sees fit to give us our building. We'll just take the tent down because the weather's going to get it after a while. I notice there's some more rips in it. And a lot of them have been put in there, not by the wind. But anyway, we'll take it down and then maybe we can resew it and somebody will get a benefit out of it. It's a good tent. I'd like to take care of the little old tent. Now then, I am glad to be able to still say that I believe God, that I love the Lord. Still got a vision. In spite of the crisis and all the problems and perplexities, I still, Paul said, I've kept the faith. And that's my vision. I hope that real soon that the building will be out here and that we'll be able to move the printing equipment over here and get started with our printing to do something for God. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, we're not going to wait till we get it over here. Brother Atlin, I was talking the other day about getting some paper. And so we're not going to wait till we get it over here, but we're going to start something rolling for the Lord Jesus in the way of literature right away. It'll probably take Atlee from over here some in doing it, but right where he's sitting over there, we're going to start things rolling for the Lord Jesus, and then we'll just move right on over as we come. But I know that there's a lot of things ready to go, and even though Brother John's light table is all taken apart, yet there is a little light table that can be worked on over there until we get the big one back up. And I'd like for us to keep this in mind. It takes, I believe you said you need about $50 worth of paper. Is that right, Atlee, to start some literature rolling? Is that right? So, and I think Raph is still of the opinion that he's going to work with us. Is that right, Raph, in the printing? So then we're going to start moving some for the Lord Jesus, not in the way that I want to move for God, because we still have a few things that need to be done, but we're going to start moving for God that we don't procrastinate on the Lord Jesus and wait too long. There is a danger of waiting too long to move for God, and I hope that we don't ever do it. But we've tried not to wait too long. We've tried to move for God all the time. Everything that we've done abroad or locally, we've tried to do for God, and radio work and whatever it is. But I feel like that we really ought to be turning out some literature, that we ought to be fasting and we ought to be praying and moving closer in, Brother Zale, with God. That's why I mentioned it the other day that we should start, and I hope you've kept that in remembrance and not forgotten it, because I feel that it is greatly needed, Brother Al, and I hope everybody has been in remembrance of it and have not forgotten what I mentioned to you the other day. We all forget pretty easy, don't we? Amen. Especially when it comes to taking up a cross. But Bob, that's pretty easy to forget, ain't it? And when we go to deny the flesh and take up a cross, well, that's pretty easy to forget. But I don't want us to forget it now. I want us to keep this in mind, and we're not to wait. But as I said the other day, from that time that I told you all the way through the remainder of the year, which is the fall coming up in the winter, and moving, Brother Vince, towards springtime, I want our people to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of God, and full of the things of the Lord. I want them to be that way. I want our people to have the Spirit of God. The Bible said to be full of the Spirit. And I want them to be people, they have been people of fasting and prayer. And I want them to continue to be people of fasting and prayer, that when people ask us to pray for a cause, that God will hear and God will answer. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Praise God. That's what God wants, is His Spirit. Amen. It's not by power, by might, but it's by the Holy Ghost. No matter how intellectual we are, no matter how much ability we've got, unless we are full of the Spirit, we cannot do the job that God wants us to do. Hallelujah. And the way to have the Spirit is to be obedient and submit yourselves one to another. Amen. I know a lot of times we don't like to submit one to another. I realize that. But God is so ordained that each one of us is the member of the body of Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks of the ministry, whereas They watch over our soul, and we must submit ourselves unto them for conscience' sake. So then that's what happened to the Jews. They would not submit, and because of that, they was turned away out of the blessings of God. But I praise God, because one day 12 disciples came along, and a spiritual nation came along that loved God, hallelujah, that was willing to accept the great, wonderful Word of God. So I praise God for this. I thank the Lord for the opportunity of being here and worshiping with you people and having a vision abroad throughout the world. Not just for Mexico, as Brother Al says, or for Canada. Not just for Pakistan, but throughout the entire world, having a vision to go into all the world for a witness for God. Hallelujah. We can do it, and we will do it by the grace of God. Amen. I want to talk with you a little bit out of God's Word this morning. And I want to exhort you to stay in harmony with the leading and moving of the Spirit of God. And whatever you do, keep your vision. We're living in a dark, dark day. A dark day when it can crowd your vision out. But you want to keep your vision. Press in. The Bible tells us that men press their way into the kingdom of God. You don't get into the kingdom of God by just drifting along and hoping everything's going to be all right and hoping that God will bear with you, because the devil is going about like a raging lion seeking whom he may devour. You've got to press into the kingdom of God if you ever make it in. It's going to take fasting, it's going to take prayer, it's going to take studying God's Word, it's going to take visiting the poor and helping those that are in need and helping the gospel and standing with it if we ever make it into the kingdom of God. It's going to take an effort to be able to go. A lot of times I feel your vision kind of dimish, you know. And I feel your mind on tangible substances. And I feel you lose your vision and drive for the work here and for the things of God. But brother, we need to press in for God. Amen. I realize that God is moving by Spirit. Across the world, God is moving by Spirit. And here there'll be a revival, and over here there'll be a revival. And all of us love to run to the revival because we feel like the Spirit is moving in the revival. And that's all right. A lot of times God does that to bring in a few extra people, because folks look on the outward appearance and they feel if there's a few extra people coming in, then God's doing something. And if there isn't a few extra people, then God isn't doing anything. God, knowing the hearts of men, He stimulates people for that purpose, that He might give these people refreshing over here, and then blow a rain cloud over here and refresh this over here, and then blow a rain cloud over here and refresh these grounds over here, that He might bring forth a harvest for everybody. But I praise God for the opportunity to be able to be in a place and keep a revival fire burning all the time and keep the Spirit of God within our midst, because we can do it if we want to, and everybody that comes our way can have a refreshing. Hallelujah. They can have the Spirit of God moving within them. Glory to God. Brother Vince, they can have a spring bubbling up inside of their heart. Hallelujah. And find a refreshing in God and the vision to evangelize the world. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Glory to God. This is a well. Like in the vision, when the Lord showed me to call the well Mizpah, it's a well, hallelujah, and it's springing up into everlasting life. And I'm glad that I can be a part of it and have an opportunity to spread the gospel and keep a place here to where we can not only live in peace and live in harmony, but have a place close by where we go to church not out of routine, but we go to church to serve God, hallelujah, and be stirred up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. When we come to the house of the Lord, if we don't watch out, we get in a rut, brothers and sisters, and we just come out of routine and we don't have any enthusiasm. But every experience in the house of God should be new and brilliant and bright and glowing with the effectual fervent prayer, hallelujah, and zeal of a righteous man toward the kingdom and endeavors of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All you've got to do to get sick is just lose your vision. All you've got to do is have poverty. To have poverty is lose your vision for Christ. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. All you've got to do is just forget God and leave God out, or give grudgingly to God, and it isn't long before you've lost out. That's right. Whether it be with your health, or whether it be with your blessing, or whatever it be. But when you stay humble and sweet in your soul and faithful toward God and toward the kingdom of God, and the Bible said when you delight yourself in Him, glory to God, when Brother Taylor gets up here to sing, unless he's feeling mighty bad or feels a mighty depressing spirit, he delights himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. A lot of times Satan will let a cloud of doubt hang over the congregation, but it's up to the preacher, it's up to the song leader, it's up to the parents that's in the church to stir them up. Hallelujah. And awake them, praise God, for the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes no difference to me how dark the night gets or how dark the day gets. I've got a job to do for God. Amen. If everybody quits, I've still got a job to do for God. Amen. We are not to live on another man's experience saying, well, if he does it, I'll do it. Or if they do it, I'll do it. My brother and sister, we've got to have a vision for God where we're going to do it by the grace of God. Amen. We sang that song the other night. You've got to walk the lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Ain't nobody can go there for you. You got to go there by yourself. Amen. So then we've got to keep a vision in our heart of fire. Amen. When you talk to somebody, you've got to have a fire burning, and you've got to have a vision. You got to be able to do something for them. Amen. David said, when your cup runs over, hallelujah. Praise God. Then everybody else will get a drink. That's what I want. Hallelujah. So then as he commanded us to be full of the Spirit. I know lots of times, you know, we feel like we go through a depressing state, and every one of us do. And the Bible said when you go through these things, think it not strange, the fiery trials that await you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Amen. You're not taken with any temptation except that which is common unto man. But the Bible said if you'll endure the temptation after that you've endured, patiently endured, then the Bible said you'll receive the crown of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. We go through dark valleys. Job went through a dark valley. But God was the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. He was the bright in the morning star in the time of darkness. Amen. And so then when you go through those places and you have those problems and you have those heartaches and it looks like God is so far from you, then the Bible said, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Amen. David of old went through a valley like that. Solomon went through a valley like that. And Elijah went through a valley like that. And all the others went through valleys. God's going to have a tried people. But the Bible speaks of the sons of God. And when it does, He said, precious sons of Zion. That's what He called them. Precious sons of Zion. He said, as a matter of fact, in the fourth chapter of the book of Lamentations, He said, precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold. Hallelujah, precious sons. Amen. I want to read from the book of Lamentation. In chapter 3, and I'd like for you to keep in remembrance as we read this now, some of the things here that David and some of the others went through, and especially remember that this is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. This is a prophetical utterance. When our spirit goes through sorrow and heartaches, remember, we are bearing the infirmities of the weak, as reproducing the life of Christ within our heart. In other words, when our spirit goes through these dark places, it's not you going through it, but it's Jesus, the life of the Lord, Paul said, reproduced in your life as you've led as lambs to the slaughter. But in this, he said, we are more than conquerors. So then, as we go through these things, it's Christ reproducing Himself in your life that the world might see Christ and might turn to the Lord. Alright, reading from chapter 3 in the book of Lamentation. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath built it against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled with reproach, full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eyes run down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickled down and ceased not without any intermission, till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. My eyes affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemy chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flow over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord. Out of the low dungeon thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drawest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the cause of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me, and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. It is not because we are a good person. It is not because we are living an overcoming life. It is not because we are a real saint of God, as we love to look at it, that God is sparing us, my brother and my sister. It is because He is gratefully merciful. That is why we are not consumed. Now, the Scriptures cannot be altered. They cannot be changed, and they cannot be broken. And the Bible said it is because of His mercies that we are not consumed. Not because we've lived good. Not because we've done more than somebody else. Not because we've been a better person. But it's because of God's mercies that I stand here today and you sit there today not consumed by the wrath of God. It's because of His mercies that we are in this condition. Now then, I want you to notice here in the 40th verse, when the writer here speaking of being cut off, when he said, I said that I am cut off. Then in the 40th verse it said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. The writer said, I am cut off. He's hedged me in. He's broken my teeth with gravel stones. And he has made my path crooked. He's put the darkness over my head. And I am cut off. But then when he finally summed it up, he said, let us search our ways and turn again to God. Amen. If we're cut off, why turn again to God? Amen. He got a spark of inspiration somewhere. Amen. He put his faith in God and his face in the dust, and he stayed there till he heard from heaven. Then notice in the 65th verse, give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Have you ever wondered what God meant when He said, I will curse their blessings? I have already cursed them because my house is laid waste. Did you know that it's a true fact that the curse of God is sorrow of heart? A lot of people have sorrow of heart. No matter what you give them as far as financial blessings, no matter, Brother Taylor, what you do for them, they still have sorrow of heart. Down within their soul and within their heart, they still have sorrow because the curse of the Lord is upon them. For the Bible said, give them sorrow of heart, for this is thy curse unto them. I don't want sorrow of heart. I want to have faith in God. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Hallelujah. When we have faith in our heart is not sorrowful. Jesus said not to let your heart be troubled. Not to let your heart be afraid. But believe in God. Hallelujah. If you believe in God, the Word said believe also in me. Hallelujah. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. He said, I didn't tell you a lie about it. If it wasn't true, I'd have been honest with you. I'd have told you about it. Hallelujah. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. And if I go, He said, I will come again. Hallelujah. Now then, but God will give sorrow of heart if we do not have faith in our heart. My brother and my sister, you don't manufacture faith. You don't manufacture faith. You don't become intellectually brilliant and manufacture faith. Faith is the result of serving God in sincerity and in simplicity and obeying His commandments. That's where faith comes from. We try to manufacture faith. When you get what you call a manufactured faith, it's not really a faith at all. It's an intellectual believing. And it will let you down in the time when you need God. In the time when you need help, it will let you down. Because you have intellectually indoctrinated yourself with your own philosophy and ideology that you're able and self-sufficient to face life. And this takes the glory from God. We are not able to face life. Neither is our sufficiency. sufficiency of ourselves. But Paul said our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. So then the sufficiency I have to finish this race or to finish this test is not because I am a brilliant man. It's not because I'm favored above somebody else. It's not because I'm a good person. But it's because of God. Hallelujah. His compassion and mercy. That's why I'm not consumed. Amen. David, having been raised up and made a king, David got careless and he began to do the things that was displeasing to God. How many times does God exalt us and raise us up and then we get careless, people? How many times does he lay his hand upon us and give us a good job, give us an income, give us favor with the people? How many times does God do this? And then when God does it, many people get lifted up and then they don't go on with God. And then they begin to trust in the arm of flesh and their sufficiency becomes of themselves. Amen. And then it isn't long before they begin to fall. It isn't long. Very long before they get haughty. They get overconfidence in themselves. They get to feeling like God has chosen them to be a special person and lifted them up above somebody else. But I'll tell you that God is no respecter person. Amen. What he requires out of me, he'll require of you. And what he requires out of you, he'll require out of me. Glory to God. God's no respecter person. Amen. It doesn't matter whether I look good or I don't look good. It don't matter if I'm bald-headed or if I got a fine head of hair. It don't matter if I'm blue-headed or red-headed or whatever I am. It don't make no difference to God. Amen. God is no respecter person. It doesn't matter if I'm 15 years old or 65 years old. It don't matter if I'm 21 or 32. God has no respect to human person. But my brother, when the Holy Ghost is in you and you've surrendered your body to be the temple and tabernacle of the eternal Spirit, God's with you. All of hell can bubble up and rise, but God's with you. And God will stand with you. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Glory to God, when you keep the commandments of the Lord, you walk in the ways of God. My brother, sister, God will go with you. Amen. He will fight your battles for you. He will help you. Your enemies will be his enemies. They'll rise up against you one way and God will make them flee before you seven ways. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is it? Why do we have sorrow of heart? Why do we do that? Because we disobey God. Because we get into a strange land. When they took these people over in the land of captivity, when they got them down into Babylon, they hanged their harps on the willers. And these people knew they were great singers, that they were great lovers of music. And they said, make music to us and sing us a song. They said, how can we sing? How can we sing? We're in a strange country. They hung their harps upon the willers and they couldn't sing the songs of Zion. My brother, when you get out of the mind of God, get into carnality and move contrary to God, you get in a strange country. That heart won't sing the songs of Zion because you're treading on dangerous ground. You're on the enemy's territory and you're disobeying God and you get sorrow of heart, which is the curse of God. Amen. For their disobedience, they went into Babylon. They went into captivity and everything become desolate and barren as though an ill wind had come and blown everything away. Our prosperity leaves. Our hope leaves. Our joy leaves. Our inspiration leaves. Our integrity leaves. Everything that we've got begins to fade away from us and we can't seem to get a hold of it anymore. Why? Why? Glory to God. Why? Because the curse of sorrow has been placed upon you. Faith will not work in a sorrowful heart. When you know that you do wrong, you're going to be sorrowful in heart. And faith isn't going to work there. But when you do the things that please the Lord of heaven, when you obey the Christ of God, then joy arises within your heart. Hallelujah. You get a spring in your step. You get stirred up. You want to preach the gospel. You want to testify. Hallelujah. Why? Because you got fire shut up in your bones. And you've got to tell somebody about it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't have a vision. I don't feel like testifying to nobody. I don't feel like going out and telling somebody about Jesus. You know why? Because you got sorrow of heart. It's because you don't have the love of God in your heart. It's because you don't have the stream bubbling up within you. You don't have the revival within you. How are you going to take revival to anybody else when you don't have a revival within your heart? I say that you need a revival. Amen. Within your heart. And then can you share the revival with somebody else? Glory to God. To share a fountain, you got to have a fountain. Amen. You know where the trouble is? The Bible said that my people have committed two evils. One, they've forsaken the fountain of living waters. He said they've forsaken the Spirit. They've took on a formality. They've took on a ritual. They've left the revelation of God that God gave John on the Isle of Patmos, that God gave Paul the Apostle. They've left it for doctrines and disciplines and ideologies. Amen. The Bible said they're teaching for the commandments of God, the doctrines and commandments of men. The Bible said, taste not, touch not, handle not, that whereby the soul is to perish with the using of the commandments and doctrines of men. Amen. Don't have any fellowship with those things. Don't mess with those things, my brother. They've committed two evils, and you say, what has happened to them? God has given them the curse of sorrow because they've committed to evil. The church today is not stimulated with the move of God, with the glory of God, and with the compassion of God, with the zeal of God to evangelize the world as it was in the early church. Amen. You say it's because we are persecuted so much in this day. My brother, we are not persecuted at all. Amen. But the church, the early church, Brother Gonzalez was persecuted. Amen. They was persecuted. And but they still had a zeal. We ought to have one of the greatest zeals that God's ever given to any country because of the blessings. Hallelujah. We need to be stirred in God. Have a revival within our hearts. We've committed two evils. What's the evils? Forsaken the fountain of living waters. Amen. That's one of them. Having forsaken the fountain of living waters. Amen. Having left the Spirit of God. Got away from God's Spirit. We don't have God's Spirit among us like we need God's Spirit among us in the church world today. Amen. But glory to God, we can have it. Hallelujah. Somebody said the revival's over yonder. I say the revival's in you, my brother. Glory to God, wherever you're at, that's God's temple. That's God's throne. That's God's kingdom. Amen. That's where the revival is. A person that just runs from revival to revival is somebody that don't have enough fire of their own. Amen. To really do something for God, they're starving to death themselves for a little bit. But glory to God, we can have the Holy Ghost within our heart. We can have the Spirit of God within our heart. Amen to God. Hallelujah. We can have it. Hallelujah. We can be filled with the Spirit, filled with the glory of God. He said, as I have covenanted with you, my Spirit remaineth among you. Hallelujah. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world. You say, but Brother Pike, I've been cut off. Brother Pike, I felt the stings of sorrow. I felt loneliness within mine heart. David did too. David said, I said, my God, I am cut off. I am cut off. My God, I am cut off. Jesus looked at the Father and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, I'm cut off. I went down to the bottom of the pit. But God brought him up from the pit. He resurrected him. Hallelujah. He waded through the fires of hell, but God didn't suffer it to bother the Son of God. Hallelujah. When the Hebrew children went through the flaming fires of the furnace, the Bible said the smell of fire wasn't on their garment. Glory to God. Hallelujah, the smell of fire. You ever smelt the stench of fire when it's burned somebody? But God said the fire didn't even make them smell. Hallelujah. Though they walk through the furnace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David said, a rod and a staff comforts me so that I fear no evil. My heart is fixed in God, he said. Evil tidings shall not trouble me. Oh, hallelujah.
when God lifts you up out of the pit, Bob, when God reaches down and gets you, when you've been cast aside, and when you're a stone rejected by the builders, and nobody can't use you, but God reaches down and gets you anyway, hallelujah, and God lifts you up, then, my brother, you've got faith in God. Hallelujah. It's not a make-believe, Brother Gerald. Glory to God, when you get it down in your heart, it ain't no make-believe. It's real. It's genuine. A lot of people never have faith in their heart because they can't have faith in nobody else. They don't feel like nobody else is right but them. And they can't have confidence in nobody else. And they never get faith within their own heart. Praise God. As you believe concerning another, so have you done it unto Christ. Do unto others as you'd have them to do to you. For that's what God's going to do to you. Said you done it unto them in that day, the least of them, my body. Glory to God. Have confidence in your brethren. Strive to keep the unity of the Spirit. Some people never make a special effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. They don't do any striving, Brother John. They don't do any trying, Brother Taylor. They don't really try to keep the unity of the Spirit. They say what they want to. They do what they want to. They think like they want to. They act like they want to and go where they want to. But the Bible said, make a special effort to swear to your own hurt so you can keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of fellowship. Now then, somebody said, well, it doesn't make any difference if I don't feel a part of a certain thing. It does make a difference. Oh, somebody said, it don't make a difference. I'll just leave it and I'll do that. No, it does make a difference. My brother, you better not play the fool. You better stop and think. You better say, now, wait a minute. Sure, to the great God of heaven, somebody's a Christian in this world. Amen. And I've got to have fellowship with somebody. I've got to have unity somewhere. I'm not a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's not the others that's got their dirty glasses. Amen. It's good to stop sometime and say, well, maybe it's me. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Frank sang the song, it's not my father that needs prayer. It's not my mother. I don't doubt but what all of them do need prayer. Amen. It's not my brother and my sister, but it's me. Amen. Glory to God. David fought and slayed and done a lot of things, but when he got down the pit, he realized he needed help in hand. Amen. Praise God. I've been along those trails. I know what they're like. Amen. Now then, what is it? Give them sorrow of heart. Why did he give them sorrow of heart? Because they've committed two evils. What is the one? What is the first one? I said it here. Because we have forsaken the fountain of living waters. God is the fountain of living waters. But there's also another evil that we've committed. The second evil, my people, he said, has committed two of them. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's the main one. They've got away from that. But he said the second one is they killed out their own cisterns, he said. Broken cisterns that won't hold the Spirit of God. That won't hold water. The second evil is their own indoctrination of their own ideology and ways. Amen. They've got their own system. They've got their own way of life. They've got their own doings. They've got their own ideas about it. They're sufficient within themselves. They can do what they want to within themselves, my brother and my sister. The Bible said they've not taken the systems of God, but they've hewn out their own systems. Their body hasn't been transformed into the image of Jesus Christ and into the likeness of the Son of God, but it's been transformed into their ideology and their way of life and their intellectual abilities. And it's not the body of Jesus Christ. It is not the body of the Lord Jesus. It is a broken system. Solomon said, when the sad day comes, when the mourning and the groaning comes, he said it's when that wheel gets broken at the cistern. Amen. When that little thing down in there where the kingdom of God is, when the beautiful silver cord is loosed. Amen. And when the faith don't work anymore, he said, then men will go a-mourning about the city. They'll go groaning about the city. Why? Because he said this is the beginning of sorrow. Beginning of sorrow. What is sorrow? The curse of the Lord. What's the matter with America? What's the matter with America, my brother and sister? What's the matter with this nation? It's because of the curse of the Lord. Amen. They have sorrow. They used to have a good time, but they have sorrow. Their ball games doesn't suffice them anymore. Their skin doesn't suffice them anymore. All of the things they do doesn't suffice them anymore. Their riches, why? Sorrow of heart. Sorrow of heart. Madness of heart. Astonishment of heart. That's the thing that's wrong with America. You say, why, Brother Pike? Not only America, but throughout the world. You say, why is this, Brother Pike? It's because, he said, my people have committed two evils. Two evils. That's why the curse is upon them. They've forsaken the Spirit. They've forsaken the Spirit. Amen. And what they did have of the Spirit, Brother Vince, they've broken the vessel and they've let that leak out. They've let that leak out. Like somebody said one time praying at the altar, you've heard it said. They say it actually happened and a man was down praying. And he was saying, God, fill me. Everybody else was saying, God, fill me. But the old Negro woman that was close by, that had been acquainted with him and knew he wouldn't do right, said, God, it ain't no need. Said, because he leaks. He leaks. A broken system. There's no need to put the Spirit within it. It's a broken system. One thought that won't come in subjection is a crack in the system. One feeling, one impulse, one ideology, a little bit of theology, one of your personal desires, your personal ambitions. That's right. That's a crack in your system. Amen. I'm going to say this in close. When Einstein discovered that the formula concerning mass matter being energy, he discovered potential energy in a form of mass matter, he learned that it could be broken down. And from that mass, a bulk form, it could be turned into what they refer to as kinetic energy. Energy that will move. Energy that will give power. Like a locomotive as it's moved, water turned into steam. It is a great, great scientific discovery as far as the world's concerned. But it represents something. That water is within the system. That power is within the form of matter. Though we potentially speak, he said, though I can't see the matter, though I just know it's a book form, he said, potentially speaking, it's stored up within there. And the right process will release it and turn it into a great power. Amen. And that's exactly right. When the Holy Ghost energizes the thoughts of our thought pattern, and it begins to fill our thoughts like water in a balloon, then when God fills us up, hallelujah, glory to God, then when God gets ready to rend the veil, he'll rend the old carnal veil. Amen. And his system will still hold the water. Praise God. And power will come forth. Amen. And we'll have the Holy Ghost and fire within our bones. Glory to God. I feel like I could preach two more hours. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that we need the Holy Ghost. I believe we need God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel something zip up and down my spine. Glory to God. I feel like we need some systems that'll hold water, my brother and sister. You ever heard people call it a crackpot? Amen. I didn't know how true that statement was until I got in religion. All them old sayings, you find out there's something to it. Amen. Let's don't be a crackpot. Always wondering what a crackpot was. Some folks, you know, if you can't get your thoughts just right and everything gonna see you to the middle of the street, you call that a crackpot. That's not a crackpot. That's a crackpot as far as the natural's concerned. They figure that pot's cracked, you know. It's broken up, it's no good, it won't function right. But that's just a symbol. A real crackpot is one that can't hold the water. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said, comfort the feeble minded. They're not crackpots. Praise God. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let me say this and I'm going to close. You hear people talking about a fanatic. You know what a fanatic really is? You ever thought of what a fanatic really is? A fanatic is one that's filled with his own ideas and his own ways. That's fanatic. Amen. That's what a fanatic is. Somebody said, oh, fanatic means someone that just goes overboard, you know. Overboard. He gets to be a fiend. He just goes overboard. Amen. Well, if that's what it is, I'm a fiend for Jesus, and I'm a fanatic, because I go overboard. Amen. But you know what a fiend and a fanatic really is? A fiend is one that just can't leave the lust of the flesh alone. He's just wild after his own ways. That's a fiend. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's a fiend. That's what a fiend is. So then they turn it to religion. They say, well, it goes after religion. That's not a fiend. Amen. That's not a fanatic. A man that is a fanatic and a fiend is one that's after the things of the world, after his own ideas. He's a fanatic or he wouldn't do those things. I think he's a fiend, he wouldn't do those things. But I'll tell you one, it goes after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a fanatic. That's not a fiend. But one that rejects God, that's a fiend and a fanatic. Amen. Praise God. So whatever I'm supposed to be, that's what I am. Amen. Don't know just exactly what I'm supposed to be, but whatever I'm supposed to be, that's what I am. Amen. Praise God. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate you coming out today, having a chance to exalt you. My brother and sister, don't lose your vision. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Whatever you do, don't you lose your vision. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Your carnal mind will talk you out of the blessings of God. And then when you get out there, you'll be so sorry as you've never been in your whole life. Don't do it. Swear to your hurt. Make your flesh humble itself. Make it get down in the dust. Do like Jesus. Wash the feet of the brethren. Get down. Humble yourself. Amen. Don't give place to the flesh or to the devil. The kind of mind that's imitated God. Don't do it. Amen. Hold fast. Let no man take your crown. Mm. Amazing grace, sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but when we come to the house of God, we can leave and go out into the highways, into the hedges, and we can compel them to come into the house of the Lord that it might be filled up. We can go out with a victory, with a stirring, with the yoke broken, and be a blessing to God. Now, this afternoon, some of us are scheduled to go to the old folks' home. They have sorrow. They don't need sorrow. They don't need weights that you would bring to them. But my brother and my sister, they need godly inspiration. They need the moving of the Heavenly Spirit of the eternal God. Amen. And we want you to let God bless you and let God have His way. Whoever it might be when we dismiss that wants to go or will go, I want you to come up here and let me know that you're going over to the old folks' home. There's usually a large crowd of people every time we've been there so far. Usually the place is filled up upstairs and downstairs with young folks and old folks alike. And I want you to think on this. I want you to think on this. They don't need a heavy heart. They need inspiration. They need help. Praise God, they need understanding. They've done gone too far to get out and evangelize the world. No need to go tell them to evangelize the world. That's too late. Brother Vince, that's behind them now. They can't do that. There ain't no need, Brother Taylor, to tell them to do that. That's behind them. But go tell them about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God that the lifeboat's soon coming by. Amen. And everybody wants to be on shore and be ready when it comes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
you have any youth out there, will you tell them about evangelizing the earth? Praise God. Now then, I'm just going to close with a prayer this morning, but I want to pray a special prayer for you before I do close. That if you've committed any sins, that they might be forgiven you, and also that God might heal your bodies. So I want you to bow your heads with me. And I want to pray earnestly and sincerely that God will have His way in your heart. Father, this morning we ask You to comfort those that are in need. Dear God, those that need a special inspiration this morning, a special uplift, Lord, though we be dirt under the feet of Thy precious people and underneath Thy divine feet. Yet, dear God, Lord, we ask You for an inspiration from heaven, that they might not have sorrow of heart, but that they might be full of joy for serving Thee as joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Father, let faith be in their heart. God, let it energize their being, dear wonderful God. Lord Jesus, them that are in need spiritually, grant it physically, grant it financially, grant it, Lord, whatever the need might be, we ask You to grant it. Forgive their sins and bring us together tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.